Coming to you live from Central Texas, it's Let's Talk with your host, Eric Jackson. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the great conversation. And now, here's the host of Let's Talk, Eric Jackson! All right. Hey, happy Veterans Day is out there to some of you veterans out there. Wait a minute, you know, I got some new equipment, so I got to play with it for a moment, y'all. So y'all work with me here, because I got to figure out what's going on. You know, sometimes you get new stuff and you have to play with it a little bit. Some of y'all know about that, but some of you don't. But anyway, happy Veterans Day to those veterans out there, my partners, my in crime, you know, my fellow veterans. You know what we went through? Woo! Hey, hope you had some fun out there. Hey, and you know what we ought to do? We ought to all get together and have one big, gigantic party one day. That'd be cool, huh? Take all the veterans and get them in one spot and have a party. I think that'd be outstanding. Of course, that's just me talking, right? Okay. Now, anyway, welcome to Let's Talk on Blog Talk Radio. Today, I'm your host, Eric Jackson, and you know what? It's Monday, y'all, and I really don't know what we're going to talk about today because it's Open Mic Monday, and y'all know how we do on Open Mic Monday, but in the same token, you know, I want to go because we had such a good conversation the other day on the subject of communication. You know, I had to actually bring somebody in to help, you know, explain this thing called communication. What is it? Because we got the point of view from the men, but we couldn't get the women to talk about it. So, you know what? I brought a woman in today so we can actually get a woman's point of view of what women think communication is compared to what a man think it is. So, y'all know what? I know y'all ready for this, right? I know y'all are. So without further ado, I want to say hello to Miss Champagne. Hey, Champagne, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good. All right, y'all. And she's going to be giving us her point of view. So, yeah, when y'all call in, don't be disrespecting my guests, okay? Oh, but you know what? Before we go ahead and do that, y'all know what I usually do. I got to play my little commercial. Then after I play my commercial, I see you, Stan. I know you ready to finish this conversation from the other day. But I'm going to go and play my little commercial. And, y'all can hear her? Or you can't hear her? Well, we can make that work. Let's see. Can you hear her now, Stan? Can you hear her now?
Can you hear me now?
come on, Stan. Talk to me. Can you hear now? Can you hear now?
Can you hear me now?
But if not, we're going to work it out. All right. So let me get this commercial and see if we can't figure out this little play thing, and we'll be right back. Hey, Colleen Fort Hood. Are you looking for some down-home smoked barbecue? Meat so tender it falls off the bone? If so, I have the perfect place for you. Tastes Like More Barbecue and Snack Bar, located at 1015 Adams Avenue, just 2 minutes from the Fort Hood East Gate. They're open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. The menu includes barbecue ribs, chicken, mouth-watering brisket, macaroni and cheese, potato salad, coleslaw, baked beans, collard greens, rice and beans. They also have red tea. They also have Kool-Aid. Yes, y'all, Kool-Aid, the red Kool-Aid, you hear me? Oh, yeah, and all the food is prepared daily. That's what I'm talking about. You have trouble getting off of work and going to sit down and eat, no problem. They take calling orders. Just give them a call, 254-213-9660. Tastes Like More Barbecue and Snack Bar. Woo! Barbecue's so good, makes you want to come back for more. Check them out. Told y'all I got some new equipment. Stan, somebody, anybody, everybody, talk to me. Can you hear? Say hello, Champagne.
Hello.
Do you need a little bit of something?
Can you hear me?
Well, we're gonna try and get something taken care of.
Oh, yeah, and I can't hear me back. Gonna get it together. Okay, you can hear me a little bit. Okay, we're getting there. It's a little louder now.
What about now, huh? All right.
Okay, all right.
So we finally figured it out. All right.
Let's get this thing started.
Woo! Okay. Very good, very good. Hey, I told you I got some new equipment. It took me a while to figure it out, but I got it figured out. Now, check this out before we get started. And yes, we're going to finish talking about our thing about communication we had started Thursday. So, Stan, I know you got a lot to say about that. So, we got a woman's point of view today. So, I'm really looking forward to this. But guess what happened the other day in the full pro football world, y'all? We actually had a tie. You know the last time you had an actual tie in a professional football game? Man, that's been about 3-4 years ago. But yesterday, we actually had a tie, 24-24. So nobody won and nobody lost. That's interesting. Every now and then it didn't happen. So for those of you who always say you didn't think it could happen, they can tie in professional football. Of course, it's the regular season, okay? And in the playoffs, there's no tie. You play till you win. All right. So with that being said, let's get on and talk about this thing about communication. You want to get called in today? And talk to me, Dan Payne, no problem. 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Join me in the chat room. I see I got a few guests in there. I know y'all fighting at the bit, so come on, get these lines started. It's Veterans Day. You got a veteran on there and to do the damn thing. So bring it on. I think she can handle her own with y'all today. But anyway, hey, give me a call, y'all. Let's talk about this thing. Now, communication, you know, we got, oh boy, did we get in a conversation the other day. And basically what we found out is men, we have no idea what the hell we're doing. No, I'm not going to say that. But look, women's form of communication is totally different than what a man think communication is. So without further ado, I'm going to let Miss Champagne, you know, give her explanation about what a woman feels. Her perspective of what she feels is communication. So without further ado, it's you, Ms. Champagne. Talk to us.
Okay. Well, my perspective on communication is that, you know, it's understanding. You know, it has to be understanding. It just can't be one person, you know, talking and another person is just listening but not getting feedback. That's easy to do. It's easy to listen, but to give any feedback, it's like you're just talking to yourself, you know. So you don't know if the other person, if no communication, no feedback is being given, then you just feel like you're just in the conversation all by yourself. So it's always good to, you know, listen, but yet give feedback also to let the person know that you're interested in what they're talking about.
Wow. Okay. All right. I can actually get with that. All right. Stan. You know, we gave our little explanation the other day, you know, our little example. So I'm finna use that same example again. Because I know some of y'all got on me about using it, talking about it wouldn't happen. But you know what? We still got to play the game, right? So, Ms. Champagne, I got a question for you.
Yes.
If your man was to tell you, honey, I'm going up here to watch the football game at Hooters. Okay? How would you perceive that message? Just out of the blue, what's up, John Public? I see you out there.
I wouldn't have a problem with it. You know, see, if you're going up there to watch the game, I already know what Hooters is. I already know that there are, you know, hot girls out there at Hooters, you know, with their Hooters. Well, I feel like this. I have Hooters also, and I do have a pair of Hooters shorts, so it wouldn't bother me at all because when Hooters is, you know, you're done. When the game, when you're done at Hooters, you're coming back to my Hooters. That's the way I feel about it. So it wouldn't bother me at all, you know, really. So it really wouldn't.
All right, in here. I guess that's one way of looking at it. I guess that's one way of looking at it. But so you wouldn't have a problem with that then?
No, I wouldn't.
No?
But then, you know, I think sometimes, you know, with maturity comes age. And maybe at one point in my life I probably would have had, you know, somewhat of a problem with it because, you know, that is kind of a self-esteem thing. You know, so when you have you know, high self-esteem. You don't really have to, you know, worry about those things. And it's a trust thing also. You know, you trust your mate, you know, and your mate trusts you, then that's when that communication things come, you know, comes back into play again. So you don't have any, you know, any problems with it because he came to you to ask you and to tell you, let you know exactly where he was going. He could have said he was going over to his homie's house to watch the game and then ended up at Hooters. So that's where that communication things come into play again at. So that's my idea on that.
So basically what you're saying, if the communication, if you're going to say you're doing something, you know, just do it. That way it's all about trust then.
Of course.
You know, communication has a lot to do with trust.
Absolutely. It has to be trust. If there's no trust, there's not going to be, you know, there may be some communication there, but you can't say it's 100%, you know, true. So it can always be, you know, communication, but it has to be trust there because communication can just be two people talking back and forth and just saying anything to each other, you know, just to kind of get by or to satisfy, you know, the person's curiosity at the moment, you know. So if there's no trust, you know, behind that communication, it's really not any good.
All right, y'all heard that? Now, see, that's one point I guess we didn't cover the other day, right? That's one point we didn't cover Thursday, huh, Stan? We didn't even mention anything about trust, or did we? And I just forgot about it. I don't know. So today we're talking about what is, we finishing up our show from our conversation from Thursday. You did stand, okay. What is communication? You know, what does communication mean to a man and what does it mean to a woman? Now, we had a great conversation about what men thought it was. So today I brought in a ranker. I brought in Miss Champagne and to get a female's point of view. So if y'all want to ask us some questions, feel free. You know, just be respectful. 347-838-8622. Email me, ericletstalk@gmail.com. Or hit us up in the chat room. Just sign into Facebook, MySpace, or whatever. Hey, and send your message, your questions and stuff there. But come on, let's get this thing started. We had such a great conversation the other day. I know y'all not finished already. I know it's Veterans Day and everybody's hanging out. But come on, y'all. Let's do this thing. Hey, Miss Lewis, I see you out there. Welcome back. See you been gone. And even though, Miss Lewis, I'm glad you're in the room today. Because you know what? I need you. Hey, give me a call. Call me, Lewis, because I need to ask you some questions. What you think about communication? Huh? In your point of view, what's communication? Because we're trying to get a definition and figure out exactly where we need to go to make it right so men and women understand each other when we have a conversation. You know, not just one thing, one thing, the other person hearing something totally different. That's what we were talking about, Stan. Y'all, I like Stan because Stan be telling it like it is sometimes. I'm sure you did. But anyway, you know, because Champagne, till y'all call in me Champagne, we just going to sit here and chat it up, you know, till y'all decide y'all want to ask some questions. Hey, why not? She asked me some questions, whatever. Now, here was my scenario. Okay, you tell your man, honey, I'm getting ready to go out to the club, right?
Okay.
Now, he hears, no, you're going out there, you and your girlfriend's going out there to meet guys, out with the guys, right?
Okay.
Or as Stan put, you know, he goes to play basketball every Wednesday night.
Okay.
Now, you come home and you got an issue, but he, as Stan would say, he's going to go and go out and play basketball because that is something he does every Wednesday.
Okay.
But you really need him to talk to you, listen to you. How would you get him to talk to you?
As far as like keeping him home to not go to the game or to go play?
Yeah, would you feel like you would have to do that? Keep him home? I mean, like you had a real bad day at work and you really needed him to stay there and talk to you or be with you. Would you actually kind of, I guess, force him to do that, or would you just let it flow as let him go and talk to him when you get back?
It depends on exactly, you know, what the scenario is. I mean, if I really just, you know, basically had, you know, a crappy day at work and, you know, I just if it was an emergency and I really needed to talk to him, you know, I really wouldn't have to make or, you know, pressure the issue. You know, if he sees something out of the ordinary is, you know, wrong with me than what normally, you know, having a bad day would be like, he should take it upon himself to want to just, you know, go ahead and say, well, hey, I need to stay at home and see what's going on. You know, and call up the fellas and tell them, you know, he'd do it every Wednesday night anyway, so he would see them, you know, next week or, you know, maybe be running a little late and try to, you know, come to me and see what's going on. If it's anything that, you know, he could do to be there for me, you know, that would be greatly appreciated. But, you know, that's still where the communication come in to line at, you know, where if he, you know, y'all have a good line of communication and trust going on, you know, he would just want to be there, you know, for you regardless, you know, because he can just catch them on the next week, you know. But I really wouldn't, you know, just push the issue. Basically, I would see how he would respond to it, and based upon, you know, his response, that's the reaction that comes behind it. So then I would let him make the decision. You know, I've already put it out there to let him know exactly, you know, what the type of day I had and what has happened and what the situation is. So then the ball would be in his court. But I wouldn't do anything, you know, to sabotage his going, you know, but that may be hell to pay once he do get back, you know. So that's why the ball would be in his court. It'd be his decision to make, you know, because he's got to come home and face me.
He's got to come and face you eventually.
Oh, yes. Oh, most definitely, yes.
Oh, Lord. As Ms. Lewis said, I would let him go and let him know when he come back, I need my time with him. He need time to be a man. That's cool. Stan said, I told you the same thing. It is my responsibility to make sure that my woman is okay.
But thanks, Stan. You know, is it Miss Lewis? Okay, definitely.
But she cannot force me to do something that I don't want to do.
Right, that's absolutely right. You know, that's why I say I wouldn't, you know, force him to stay home to do that, because if he can go with a clear conscience to go do what he does every week, knowing that his, you know, his mate is at home and she had, you know, something she really needed to talk to him about, you know, and he chose to go ahead and go anyway. I mean, if he's able to, you know, go, you know, shoot up the hoops, you know, the way that he does every Wednesday night, and it's the same thing that Wednesday night, that's a problem with the communication. I wouldn't say that that was a trust issue there. That'd be a problem with the communication, you know, the type of communication that they're doing, you know, between them two as far as handling situations like that. So I still wouldn't do anything to try to sabotage him going, but, you know, that's going to, you know, be hell to pay once he do gets home, knowing that I was in that type of mood before he left.
Okay, so let me get this right. Even if he did go, you know, when he came home, as you put it, there would be hell to pay.
Yes, the story would actually, it would change.
It would change?
Yes, because basically it was your decision to go ahead and just go play ball. And if I stressed it to, you know, my man that I needed to talk to you, you know, before you left and already laid it out there, when you walk out the door and choose to, you know, just randomly go do something that you do every week anyway, that left a whole lot of doors open, you know. I'm in a place where as to I need to talk to the person that, you know, I'm with. But when you leave and I'm still going to feel the same way, you know, I still got that problem, you know. So basically what you're telling me is that when you walk out the door, you're telling me a lot of things to either put it on hold or, you know, you don't feel like it. You can care less. You're telling me like a whole lot of things. You're telling me you don't mind if I go talk to somebody else about it. You're leaving a whole lot of doors open when you do walk out that door. You know, I'm not going to argue about it. You know, once upon a time, I probably would have, you know, sabotaged your going to make you stay, but that doesn't make the situation better because, you know, you're not going to, you're going to listen to me, but you're not going to be communicating with me because your mind is still on it, going to shoot up the hoops. So I wouldn't do anything, like I say, you know, to sabotage you, but you're leaving a lot of doors, you know, open for somebody else to communicate with you once you walk out the door.
Oh, okay. All right. Interesting. Well, I see we have a call on there, so let's see if we can get some questions from our caller.
Okay.
Good afternoon.
You know
who it
is.
Oh, what's going on, Mr. Joe? How you doing today?
Okay, so I see you're continuing the topic of communication, eh?
Yeah.
All right. Good. And because I'm not at my PC, I just called in because I figured you'd be in.
Uh huh.
So. I'm hearing now the old Wednesday night basketball game situation, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. So, is Stan there?
Yeah, Stan. See, he in the chat room.
He's in the chat room. Good.
Yes.
Because, Dan, this is probably his situation, which I agree with. If a person knows, if a guy is going out every Wednesday night,
uh-huh.
My question to the female caller on the line now, if you know that he's going out every Wednesday night to play ball, why do you have to now, on a Wednesday night, feel it's your prerogative to talk to him to try to make him stay home? And since you're not going to try to sabotage him, why do you want to give him hell when he comes back when you know that it's his Wednesday night to be with the boys?
Okay, well, basically to answer your question, it's like basically what he said was that the scenario was that if I happened to have came home and I had a problem that occurred at work and I needed to talk to, you know, to him, would I leave it up to him to decide? Yeah, it's a Wednesday night, but I didn't plan on, you know, coming home, you know, and something that didn't occur at work and that I need to talk to him about. So, you know, as I stated earlier, if it was something that just, you know, I'm just having a crappy day, no, I probably wouldn't bother with him about it until later on, you know. But if it was something that made you know, happen at work and I really needed to address it, you know, at that time, you know, that's why I said I would, you know, go ahead and put it out there to him, because he's going to already, you know, if it's a good line of communication going on and everything, he's going to already know something is wrong and something, you know, dramatically happened, you know, at work already. So I'm going to, you know, let him know and I'm going to address it.
All right, so let's say you come home.
I didn't choose to just come home on a Wednesday and do the same. Well, hey, I'm going to come home tonight, and I'm going to, you know, he's going
to
stay
all right,
at home.
Let me try to introduce this then. So something dramatic happened at work. You've come home. He's about to leave. You're going to present to him this whatever it is. What do you expect him to do?
Okay. Like I said, that's where, you know, that line of communication come in. Set.
Mm-hmm.
If I come in and it's that bad, you know, he's going to already know. And the type of person that, you know, I'm going to be in a relationship with, he's not even going to want to continue to go on the door to go play ball. You know, when he sees that, you know, I'm upset and it's really doesn't depend
on. So he's a mind reader. So you don't communicate to him. You just come in, you're coming in, maybe you're feeling bad, but you don't say why. He's about to leave, and you don't say to him that you're feeling bad, but he should know that you're feeling bad, and as a result, he should just stop.
I'm going to say why. I'm sorry.
Because you
go
said
ahead.
You wouldn't.
I said I wouldn't have to, because if he knows me the way that he should.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, if he knows me the way, I'm not going to, you know, like say, have to come in and just rush him like that, you know. Let's say we're passing each other. You know, he's going out the door and I'm coming in the door. The look on my face, you know, should definitely tell him, look, I need to go see what's wrong with her before I leave, you know, and then decide, you know,
so if he doesn't
it's important
do that,
enough to stay home.
So if he doesn't if pick he, up on your nonverbal signals, then he's the bad guy.
No, not at all.
Oh, okay. So if he leaves to go play ball, then it's okay.
I'm sorry?
So if he goes to leave to play ball then it's okay.
Yeah, sure. If that was no way for him to just notice something is wrong.
Right.
No, but if it's that, you know, that bad, but, you know, if we're passing each other, he's going to, you know, hug and kiss me on his way out the door. You know, if he don't, he's...
All right. So, but again, you're saying before that if he didn't pick up, that there's hell to pay, because if he chose to go out, then you wouldn't stop him, but there's hell to pay when he comes back. Now you're saying, well, if he didn't pick up, right, the nonverbal signals, because you didn't communicate to him verbally what was going on, now it's okay. So I don't know which is which.
Okay. No, I'm going to communicate with him. You know what I'm saying? I said he should, the type of relationship we should be in as far as communication, he should know that something is wrong. But if he doesn't pick up on it, I know it's totally innocent. No, I'm not going to bother with him or nothing like that. No. But if he just, you know, if I present, you know, my situation to him and, you know, it is as bad as it is, you know, it may not be to him. Now I say, but if he just, you know, totally, you know, just okay, you know, well, whatever, and still chose to go ahead and play ball, you know, I say, yeah, that'd be hell to pay once he got back, you know, had he known the situation and then just took it upon himself.
Okay,
you know.
So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You come home, you're feeling bad. He's about to leave. So now you're willing to dump on him what's wrong in order to make sure that he stays with you when he misses his basketball date? Or is it okay if he listens to you for about 15 minutes and then leaves? Or does he have
to stay? I said that earlier. Yeah, I said, you know, he could call the guys and say, look, I'm going to be running late, you know, because, you know, definite purposely, it shouldn't be anything that's going to take, you know, two hours when y'all play ball. It shouldn't be anything that's going to take, you know, that long, because it didn't take that long for me to present the case to him, you know, that I had a bad day. So I wouldn't just take up the whole night, you know, but believe me, you know, I would find a way to make it up to him, you know, if it's like a game where it's two that they're introducing some new players, or, you know, they're really going to go out after the game or something like that. I'd, you know, really be sympathetic towards that, you know. Basically, you know, it's my job to let them know if something is wrong, because sometimes guys just don't know because they're not, you know, y'all are not mind readers. So I would, you know, definitely
Listen to him. So if he spent about, all right, so if you told him I was wrong and he spent about 15 minutes with you consoling you and then says, babe, it's okay if I play ball and then come back and then we can have some real private time together, that's okay?
Oh, most definitely.
All right. So, okay. Then there's no argument.
So basically what you're saying is, as long as he acknowledged that there was a problem, that he was willing to help you, then everything is okay.
That's all I require.
That's all you require.
Acknowledge that you know there's a problem.
Uh-huh.
Even if you have to fake it just because you're trying to hurry to get out the door, at least acknowledge that idea, you know, and address it later. But just to hear about what happened and then just, you know, still, you know, well, you know, I got to go, you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, when you get home, yeah, that you know, you're still going to hear what happened. But the thing about it is, when I say it's going to be held to pay, not that I'm going to probably dig into you once, you know, crap on you once you get home. When you get home, what if I don't say anything else about it, you know? And I'm like, because the time you was gone, you know, your mind can be wondering, you know, well, why should I want to talk about it now? What took place while I was shooting
the ball? Well, that perpetuates then the lack of communication. If, for example, the guy that you're talking about, if you did come home, something was wrong other than just the usual, you know, bad day, bad boss, and he wasn't willing to spend some time with you after you let him know about that, that's a shallow guy. But at the same time, suppose he leaves, he comes back. Now you're going to perpetuate the lack of communication by not communicating to him how you feel. That, don't you see how that continues the momentum of non-communication?
Well, yeah, you know, when he get back, let's say, you know, I'm in a total different, you know, in a better mood than I was, you know, before you left. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm good. I don't really need to talk about it now. You know, I just had a bad day at work. That's all. But you're thinking
about
your mind, but,
though,
you know, huh?
But you're going to hold resentment. That continues the momentum of the non-communication. Now you've got, just in addition to having a bad day, now you feel resentment towards him. Now you're not communicating with him when he comes back home, and that isn't good either.
Well, no, not to say that I won't communicate with him. I mean, I don't want to talk about the subject, because while he was gone, there's been, you know, room left open to conversate with it about, you know, with someone else, you know, or somebody that's not, you know, just not there. And when you get home, you know, I'll be ready to talk and everything, but I just don't want to talk about that now, because it's over and done with now, and I'm like, I wouldn't hold it.
So then there's no hell to pay. So if everything was done, I mean, if he was a shallow guy and you felt resentment towards him before he left, now that you've had a conversation with somebody else and it's all gone, like you say, then there's no problem.
You know, hell to pay would be actually, it would be on him, because he's been in the back of his mind, why she don't want to talk about it now? You know, what took place while I was out there?
So if he brings it up, then you're going to be quiet?
Yes.
So, in other words, there is hell to pay. It doesn't matter how you phrase it. it's still hell to pay.
Just be respectful towards the situation. That's it. You know, and, you know, just be sympathetic. That's it. Bottom line.
I wish Stan would call in.
Hey, what you want Stan to call in for?
Because I want to hear his input on this, because I just got here. This is something which I presume Stan brought up. And, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? It sounds like we've gone from actual verbal communication to perceptions now. You know, okay, he's going to play ball. He said, okay, you know, he listened for the first 15 minutes, whatever. Okay, I'm out. I'm going to play ball and I come back. Now, she may have called one of her girlfriends or whatever, you know, and mm-hmm. chatted it up or whatever. Now he comes home ready to give her his undivided attention, but now she don't want to talk about it because somebody else had the time to listen. So now,
yeah, but listen to this.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
But listen to this. First she says, well, now I've talked about it. It's okay. So I said, is there hell to pay? No, I've already gotten it out of the way. So then I introduced it again. I said, okay, so if he comes back again and you've now talked it over, there's no hell to pay. Oh, no, I mean, he has hell to pay because he's wondering all the time about why am I being quiet. So you flipped the story like Mitt Romney. And that's why I wanted Stan to call in.
Yeah, I don't know if he really understood exactly what I was saying. Not to say that, you know, once you get home, if I got it off my shoulder, you know, like I said, the hell to pay wouldn't necessarily be me crapping on him or, you know, oh, you should have been there for me, this and another. I would think, you know, too, you know, the hell to pay could be, you know, like I said, his own, you know, mind wandering
mm-hmm.
here and there. Not that I would actually have to do anything to go out of my way because I'm still, you know, I'm going to still be fine, you know, as I said I would, you know.
So you'd still be fine. So,
yes.
So why should he? Okay.
Could be in his own mind because he's wondering,
But then if he communicates to you, that, okay, babe, I'm here now and I'm sorry that I had to leave, but I had to have that court date. Otherwise, they'd close up the gym or maybe they'd have somebody else take my place. Now that I'm here. How do you feel? And you're going to say, well, everything's okay now. So are you saying that because everything is okay, even though you had an ultra crappy day? Or are you saying that in order to make him feel, well, she doesn't want to communicate with me now because she wants to put up a barrier. She's pissed.
No. If I'm pissed, he's going to know it. So if I say it's okay, you know,
so then
it's going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it may not be okay in his mind. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't go back over it. You know, I didn't choose to continue to talk about it, you know, because really, it really, you know, is over. But if it's something that still needs to be addressed, you know, I'm like, you know, it's okay. You know, if I say it's okay, it really is okay. I'm not going to be in a relationship where it's too, I'm able to say that it's okay and it's really not. You know, I'm going to address it until it is okay, and I would expect you to do the same thing. Now, had the situation been flipped around where it's too, it was girls' night out, you know, I'm the type of person where if he came in and he had a day like that, you know, I can see the girls anytime, but I can't say that, you know, the guy should feel the same way or react or respond the same way because guys are guys and women are women.
So if it was flipped around,
I know what I would.
Ah, there it is right there. There it is. Guys are guys and women are women. And
yeah.
that's where it breaks down at. Hold on, I have another caller man on the line. Let's see what's going on. That's what I'm talking about. Good afternoon, you're on Let's Talk. What's going on?
Hey, Stanley, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Stanley. How you doing?
Hey, Stan.
Hey, what's up, Joe? The thing I'm hearing from the girl is, as a man, I would basically, if I was in that situation, first off, I would say to the girl, what's up? Of course, she's my woman and everything. How are you? Things like that. No matter what, that's what I would do every day. But if I tell her what's up and what's wrong and she said nothing, I'm not going to start running after you if you're not opening up. If there is something wrong, I expect you to take your own responsibility to tell me what it is because I'm your man. Same thing with me. If I have something wrong and I'm feeling down about something, it is my responsibility to tell it to the person so that the person doesn't become a mind reader, because I'm not your mind reader. If there's something wrong and I tell you what's up and you tell me how are you and you tell me fine, I'm going to go to the game because you said fine. You know, I'm not going to just play that stupid game of immaturity.
Right.
But is it really a game of immaturity, or is it just the perception? And like I say, the way we need to actually get together on communication.
Well, if I tell you how are you, is there anything wrong, baby? You seem to be down, and you say nothing. What am I supposed to do from there? You know that there's something wrong. You don't want to tell it to me. You have your right to not tell it to me. But I have the right also to say, okay, Well, I'll see you after the game. What do you want me to do? It's your responsibility to be honest. That's why I said there's three things I want: honesty, trust, and respect. If you can't be honest with me, we don't have a relationship.
Yeah, the situation was, you know, what.
But wait a minute, Stan, wait a minute. Just because she decides, okay, I'm just going to ask this question. Just because she decides she doesn't want to talk to you or tell you what the problem is, that means she's not being honest?
Well, she makes a choice that, well, she's not telling you that she's not being honest. It's just she made a choice not to tell me about it, and then she can't come back to me later and say, well, you should have stayed and things like that. You know, and I'm going to look at her, you didn't come to me honestly talking about that. I'm not the mind reader. If there's something wrong, babe, tell me. It's your responsibility to tell me. Like, it's my responsibility to tell you if there's something wrong. That's something that all of us have a responsibility. If you don't want to communicate to me there's something wrong, how am I supposed to know it?
It's not integrity, I don't think. I think it's just a lack of honest communication if the person doesn't tell.
Yeah. It's basically you keeping up the information inside. If you know there's something wrong, and I'm leaving and I play basketball. Next thing you know, you call one of your girls, and then, girl, let me tell you, blah, 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 blah. And then next thing you know, all the people, all your friends, family, everybody know what's wrong except your man. And one of your girls is going to say, how come your man doesn't know it? Well, you know he went to play basketball. And you know how, and then you say, eh? He went to play basketball? Who said that to play basketball?
Stan going off. Stan in chat room, Ms. Lewis says, sometimes I just want to talk about it and just leave it there.
Okay, and I have no problem with that. If you want me to listen to you, that's one thing. But you got to talk about it and tell me what it is. Don't talk to all your girls and say, girl, blah, blah, blah. And then your girl, can you make the basketball? I can't believe you did that. What kind of man do you have? I would never. Then you come back from basketball, all hell comes loose. Well, my friend told me. What? Your friend did what?
What I'm hearing from the court. Go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Go ahead, Stan.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's like the whole. A lot of people don't have the honesty and the integrity to go see their man if they have issues. They go see all the.
All the what?
Stan, you dropped off.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. No, they had the opportunity.
What
to
the subject was about, you know, would you choose to leave or, you know.
Well, what I'm getting from this, even though the caller kind of flip-flopped.
Ahead,
oh, Stan, did you finish?
I'm finished. Go ahead, Joe.
Okay. Well, even though there was a little bit of a flip-flop there, was that she would realize that, okay, she had a worse than crappy day. She wants to talk it over with her guy. The guy's about to leave. In a situation where she's not going to reveal to him verbally what's going on, she would expect him to pick up on the signals. But if he didn't, somehow there'd be hell to pay, probably in his own mind. But then when he would come back, she wouldn't talk to him about it in order to make him feel this hell. But she'd be okay. I don't know if I quite buy that, unless you talked it over with your girlfriends and then, you know, you let it out that way. But I still think that she would want to talk it over with the guy. In the second situation, she would come home, and then she wouldn't mind if the guy spent like 15 minutes listening, sincerely listening, and then leaving. And I don't find that at all troubling at all. I kind of find it a little bit troubling that she would allow her man to feel some sort of psychic pain just because he didn't pick up on nonverbal signals.
You know. I mean that's interesting because me and my boo, we have some conversations sometimes, man. And I tell you, and when you say something, and I say, you know, say something totally different, comes the perception that she has of it.
Yeah.
So. You know, and I'm not gonna lie. First thing I go is, where the hell did that come from?
Oh yeah.
You know, because it's totally out of left field. But you know, that goes to show, as I stated Thursday, men think communication is one thing, and women, we say one thing. Women hear something different. Women say something. We hear something different. So here's my thing. I'm trying to figure out how can we fix it to where we hear the same thing.
Oh, I can tell you.
Uh-oh.
You just got to clarify and clarify, like I was doing now. Like every time the caller was saying something, I kept on, are you saying that this is this or is this is that? And then you clarify until both agree. And then after that, then let's say, for example, there's an agreement between a woman and the man that if you can't pick up on my signals, I understand because you're not supposed to be a mind reader. So there's the agreement. But then later on in the future, if she's still going to try to make the guy feel guilty, that means she's not conforming to the agreement. And that has nothing to do with lack of communication. That has to do with somebody not willing to go along with the agreement.
Uh-huh. All right. Let's see. Coming out of the chat room, Ms. Lewis says, dudes don't get it sometimes. And Chef Rob goes, women don't get it.
All
women don't get it the rest of the time, so what's next? Then Ms. Lewis goes, a woman knows who to call to understand the situation and talk. Then Rob says, if a woman can't talk to her man, then there is no relationship. Talking to another woman that isn't sleeping in my bed, this is a problem.
Yeah, and I agree with that. If you can't come to your own man and be honest about your issue, that you don't have a relationship. You don't. You know, and I agree with Joe is saying when it comes to understanding, you keep on repeating what the person said, like he just said. Did you mean this or did you mean that? And until you understand that person, say, yeah, that's what you meant, then that person can never come back to you and say,
oh, no,
you don't understand. Don't understand me. Yes, I do, because I repeated what you said to make sure I understand. You know, seek first to understand, then to be understood. That's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm. So as I've said before, Eric, to me, communication is not the key nor the problem, because people do communicate. It is whether or not a person wants to conform to what the agreement is as a result of that communication, whether or not we want to change or we want to adapt. That's where the thing is. People do not want to change. They want to talk and talk and talk and talk all around the issues or try to make each other blame everybody. But it's the changing. You know, is this guy shallow? If he's so shallow that every time the caller has an issue, that he's always got to go someplace or never stick around, she's got to let him know so that he can say, well, I'm sorry, babe, I'll never do it again. And then if he does do it again or two times or three times, she's got to let the guy go. She's just got to kick him out.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not conforming to the agreement. They've already made the communication as lucid as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, if he's shallow. Now, if he's not shallow and she's not communicating well, then, you know, the guy's going to say, where did all that shit come from?
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know what? And a lot of times, that's what I'm saying. It's just, I'm not going to say lack of communication. It's just
lack of communication.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that even if you communicated fully, some people don't know how to communicate to the level where it should be, in my opinion. And that level should be, like Stan was saying, I repeated it. I confirmed this, and then I confirmed that. And then we got to an agreement. So this is the understanding that you and I have. Isn't that right, babe? Yes. So that, in other words, if you do this, then I should do that. Yes, well, I agree to that. Okay, and then if later on that agreement is broken, it's not communication anymore. You've already communicated.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
It's like a contract. When you have a contract and you agree to the terms in the contract, and you go over the terms of the contract, and you agree that these terms are fair, but now, like sports, like the athletes or the celebrities or the people in radio, they want to break their contract. They didn't fucking misunderstand the contract. They want to break it. It's not communication. It's not, well, it wasn't a communication breakdown, unless it were, you know, fraudulent clauses or some shit in there. But let's say they weren't, and everybody understood exactly what was going on, right? Like a prenup. Like when you have a prenup, and then the girl who, you know, who never made more than a dime in her life marries some guy who's a millionaire. Now she wants $500,000 a year because she was lucky enough to marry him. It wasn't because there was something in the prenup that was evil. She knew what she was agreeing to. She just wants to break it.
Oh, she just wants to break it, huh?
That's it.
Oh. Well, go back, Joe. So, you know, listening to what you're saying, so what you're talking about, shouldn't that take time? It shouldn't be something that is expected right away?
No, well, I think men are probably very tolerant of some women's actions. They just, you know, chalk it up to PMS or hormones or you're a female. So they kind of let it go, and then they say, so you're right. It kind of extends the time that it shouldn't be. Me, I get down to brass tacks right away. I presume you're a female with a brain who knows about responsibility, even though you may not have a brain and even though you may be irresponsible. I'm going to assume that, and I'm going to assume that you understand English, and that when you say yes to when I come down to the agreement from the communication, that you're going to obey that agreement, that you understand what the agreement's about. And I do it quickly, like I've done it here. It's easy.
Hi, Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me, if I could say, basically, you know, some understand, you know, understanding may be a little different, you know, than yours, you know, whether it be male or female, you know. So basically, what I would try to say is that yes, it would take time, you know, doing and talking and going over things over and over. That would come into play, I would say, before you really get into a relationship. But I think
agree.
It would be all about understanding, you know, your base language of communication, because some people understand, you know, understanding level is like different, you know, same communication, but it's what you're saying and how you're saying it to that person. You know what I'm saying? You may be the sensitive one in a relationship. You know, the female may be the sensitive one in a relationship, but you sound, you know, like kind of, you know, firm at what you would say and get to the point and be strict about it. You know, well, the female may be a little more, you know, sensitive than that, and she really wouldn't probably be able to, you know, take, you know, your understanding of the how you get to the point, you know, right to the point, and it can come off as being, you know, kind of, you know, mean-like, maybe.
Well, maybe it does, but that.
Yeah,
maybe it does, but that woman's got to grow up, because I'm not being mean. I'm being direct, just like I was with you. I wasn't mean. I was just direct.
You was okay with me. I mean, I can do this all day long. You know, I'm okay with that, you know, the way that you talk. But someone else may think that you're coming off, you know, like, as a father, you know what I'm saying?
But
like,
then,
you know,
see, what
you're... my daddy, you can't come to me and talk to me like that, you know?
Yeah,
just,
but
oh,
I understand your point.
Great.
But you're subtly asking me to accommodate a female. But the female, if she's strong, independent, has a brain, I don't have to accommodate her like she's a child. If she's
right.
going to be sensitive to that type of simple questioning, and it's not being interrogative, it's just questioning to make sure that we clear up misunderstandings. And if she agrees to the same thing I agree to, what's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing, absolutely. That's why I say I would think that that would be understanding, you know, your partner's, you know, language of communication. That means,
mm-hmm.
what I mean that is how, you know, you can talk to that person and how, she, you know, that she will receive it without, you know, getting offended or you coming off, you know, as sounding like her father telling her what to do and she's like, you know, 45 years old, you know. So I say that's, you know, understanding, you know, the type of language communication mm-hmm. that y'all have between each other, you know, because definitely, you know, I may not get offended by it because, you know, yeah, I'm, you know, a strong-minded person, you know, but once upon a time,
but did I tell
you
to do anything? I didn't. Right. I didn't tell you anything. I just asked questions. I didn't tell you how you should act. I just asked questions, and then we agreed. And that's like you and I didn't agree on anything because you and I weren't doing anything. But that's the way I would do it. And I didn't tell you that. You know, you shouldn't talk to me like that, or you should wait. I'm just asking questions, and then we just agree. Now, Stan, do you have anything to say about that?
No, I agree with what you're saying, Joe. It comes to a certain point that if I'm being honest with you and things like that, I'm asking you the question. I believe in personal responsibility. So responsibility to say it, to ask your partner whatever you have to ask with respect. But after that, I give you honesty with respect. And if you take it personally, that's on you. Because if I'm being respectable of you and I'm not attacking your character, who you are, and I'm being respectable and asking you a question as an adult, as my girlfriend, and expecting you as an adult to respond to me as an adult to the question I'm asking you, and you don't, and you take it personally, that's on you. That's not on me. You know, until I don't respect your character and disrespect you, you know.
But okay. I also understand what she's saying, too. Remember when, I don't know if you were there the second time, Stan, but Eric, Stan and I were on a show where this hosted by two very nice, intelligent, interesting women.
Uh-huh.
And one of them wanted me, in this role play, she wanted me to call her every day. Even though we were married in the role play or, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend living together, she wanted me, and I said no. And we talked about it for about 15 minutes, and we couldn't get to an agreement. Some things like that reach a stalemate, but you have to get down to breaking the stalemate.
My point exactly.
But you remember, Stan, when we were talking with Angie?
Yeah, I remember. In that case, you have to respect it. You don't agree to agree. You have to come to a point that we don't agree with that, and we walk out about it. We say, okay. You know, mm-hmm. We don't agree with it. But when you say, you got to call me every day, if you don't, you're going to hurt my feelings. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, so, also part of it was that I had to call her, even though it was only a half an hour before I was going to see her. And we lived together. That was part of the situation. So, you know, it's sometimes there are things where a man or a woman will bring up certain situations where because they want something done where it shouldn't be done. And God, it can be.
But it comes back to the thing that I said: influence. To influence somebody, you got to know already what already influenced. Sometimes you can't influence somebody by the thing that you think needs to be done. Sometimes you have to influence by finding out what she needs to be done for her, so you can influence her and make her think to whatever you want to do.
You know? I agree with that.
Okay, I got one question before I bring this caller on the line, because she mentioned something about sensitivity. So if a man is so-called sensitive, or as one of my favorite callers, you like to say, got TBS, tiny ball syndrome, how do y'all can handle that? I'm talking about the women now.
Stan, you want me to go or you go?
Go, Joe.
Okay, sensitivity. Everybody should be sensitive to everybody's feelings. But I think most women want men to be ultra sensitive to the point where they accommodate the woman as though they're a child. I don't do it. If you're sensitive, if you have something really hurting you, believe me, I'm sensitive. I can understand, I can empathize, and I can listen and keep my mouth shut and just listen to you. But if you're going to talk to me about broken nails, if you're going to talk to me about every day, you know, the same shit every day, I'm not going to be that sensitive, because if it's the same shit every day, then why don't you, as my girl, my friend, stop imposing the same bullshit on me all the time? I don't want to have to hear your shit every day, especially if it's, you know, if it's not that hurtful, if it's just annoying, like the traffic again. Jesus Christ, why don't they fix the potholes? Why don't they make streetlights faster? I don't want to hear that shit every fucking day.
Joe.
I heard it yesterday. I heard it for a year. Grow the fuck up.
Oh, no.
Joe, not all women want, I kind of disagree on that. Not all women want that sensitive man, you know, because who's going to be the man in a relationship, you know, especially if he's a wimp like that, you know, and you're, you know, much stronger than he is, you know, it wouldn't be about broken nails and things like that. It'd be sound more like she, you know, she tells him what to do and he does it. But that's not the type of person I really would, you know, consider, you know, relationship material. But neither do, you know, I want a wimp, because, you know, a man that sensitive is okay to a certain extent. Be sensitive towards my needs, towards, you know, how we communicate with each other, but that's about getting to know each other so we can know each other's, you know, communication language. We know how, you know, how you can talk to me and I know how I can talk to you. But, you know, definitely I wouldn't, you know, go nagging about, you know, little things that I know just doesn't matter. But you do have guys out there that are that sensitive, whereas to every little thing, you know, that she nags about, you know, he's feeding into that. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let's go get it. Oh, you got a broken nail. Let me kiss it and make it better. No, that's not the type of man, you know, that me as a grown-up woman, you know, would need, but just be sensitive towards, you know, my needs, you know, and things, you know, that I need from you as a man. But, you know, just basically, you know, being a man, no, I do not need, you know, a wimp, because a wimp would not be able to accommodate, you know, the things that I need, you know, as far as, you know, Stan was saying, as, you know, grow up, you know, be a woman. Well, that applies, you know, both ways. And just being sensitive, we can be sensitive towards each other's, you know, needs and wants and how we communicate with each other and how we treat each other, you know, together. But just, you know, being a wimp, I don't think that, you know, all women, you know, that's just what we want them to be, just be all wimpy and submissive. Because, no, I need a strong-minded man, especially someone that's going to be strong-minded than I am, to be able to say, well, hey, this is, you know, the way it's got to be. Because if not, I'm going to keep going, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to keep going and going and going. And it's not going to be about broken nails or you didn't take the trash out last night.
Well, hold on, hold that. Let me bring this call up and let him get some of this. Good afternoon. You're on Let's Talk. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. Are you speaking to me?
Yes, no. I am, Mr. Solution. How you doing?
All right. I see the Titans have checked in. What's up, Joe, Stanley?
How are you?
Hey, Rich.
I'm just checking it out. The guys are doing a good job at, you know, keeping this buoyant. Hey, but I will make the observation that the most prized of all human behaviors it would be the speech. And I would say we really need to hone that to a fine edge, our speech. English, I kind of major in English simply because English is it's an exceedingly powerful language. And one can say something in English more succinctly than in any other spoken language. And so we can get clarity if we want it. The point is, do we want it? And I think with so many women, they like the drama, and that is the reason that they choose certain men, broken men, thug-like men, men who are reckless, because they're looking for that drama. That drama is a type of adrenaline that they live from, and so what needs to happen, that's going to have to be redirected if the woman is to be at all balanced. She's going to have to live the normal life. But that's what she does. She's a type of psychic vampire herself, and that she sucks and lives off of this adrenaline. And much of that adrenaline is on the crazy side, is what it's on. And I think Joe hit the nail on the head when he talked about presuming that a woman is adult, and I think that she's intelligent and or sane, whereas women want, most of the time, they want to be treated like children. They won't acknowledge that because it's not popular to say that, but they want to be excused. And our society has done a horrible debt in doing that. So there are certain prerequisites, and it's going to be being an adult, being accountable, that will lay the foundation for a healthy relationship.
Rich.
Go ahead.
Rich, were you listening? Well, I don't know, I forget. Have you been listening the last 40 minutes, 45, when I was talking about the agreement, communication agreement?
No.
Okay, I'll get to that in a second if I recast time. But I wanted to dovetail from what you were talking about, how women choose certain men for the drama. Remember when, just before you came on the air, the caller was talking about if she had a wimp, that if he allowed her, she would go from the broken nails to something else to always complaining?
Right.
Doesn't that confirm my suspicion that 95 to 99% of women want drama and cannot handle a good man, a harmonious relationship?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Because, what needs to be, and what my impetus is to train men how to think female, how to note what she's doing and how to offer her corrective guidance should she desire to take it. See, most women consider themselves God, okay? Let's just go ahead and be candid with that. Mm-hmm. What is God? God is unimpeachable. God, you know, is sovereign. And that's what most women strive to be, is God. And it just points out that they're screwing things up, including their own lives. So that's where men have to step in and say, and I think you have to say this before you get in a relationship with a woman. You get in a relationship with a woman, you're on her turf too late, because she'll destroy everything to save her, I call it puella eternus. That's Latin for eternal girl. She will destroy the relationship to salvage her puella eternus persona. So I love mixing it up with women. I just absolutely love it. I like to take on 1,000 on a bad day. Good day, I can take on 1,000,000. But see, because all I do, it's very simple. I use definition, define things. Women don't like for things to be defined. Why? Because they want a weasel clause. They always want to avoid accountability. And I just watch them because I understand words a little bit. You know, I go back and forth with the racist separatists, white racist separatists, and they call me a word king. You know, they say little things that are kind of negative, but all they have to do is study the dictionary. The dictionary is there for all of our usage, and it helps to fine-tune us to what reality is. Words define reality. You know, in school they used to teach us about linguistic determinism versus linguistic relativism. And so what we have discovered is that our thoughts are determined by the language. And we just need to utilize the language actually for love, for loving and understanding. You know, there's an old aphorism that says, with all you're getting, get understanding. And what happens is we don't have any understanding. Just for a point of clarity, I was talking with several women across the pond the other day, and a guy. And the women were saying, well, you sound so definitive. And I said, you damn absolute right, because that's what it's about, is defining the reality for the two people. And certain things among human beings is absolutely common. We just have to admit it and go forward. And I told the women quite candidly, face to face, your premise is wrong. Look up the word truth, accuracy, absolute, true, you see? And I said, look that up in a good dictionary, because what happens is a lot of times we get so far on the limb of insanity that we, you know, it breaks and we fall into the abyss. So what I encourage women to do is to go back to the roots so that you can get an understanding. And this was a therapist, by the way. I was giving a therapist guidance.
These relationship counselors, they suck. But I want to invite Rich, Stan, Eric, and the caller. I got invited to be a guest on a show tomorrow at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. It's the Ebony Empress. She's that black chick from England.
Yeah, I know her. She was on this show. She was one of the ones I corrected about definition.
Okay. Well, she thinks she's trapping me. She doesn't know that I believe that I know she's trying to trap me. So I'm going to show up on 5 o'clock tomorrow. So I want you guys to say, are you ready? Handled her, huh? All right. So you beat me to it. Okay.
Oh, let me tell you, she is like putty in my hand.
Why do you think she's trying to trap you? Joe?
Because I'm the person, just like Rich, just like Stan. I don't know about Eric, but we three, we come off talking about perceptions, as Eric was talking about. We come off as misogynists because we want women to grow up and take responsibility and be accountable for what they say and for what they do. So she's invited me on the show to spend 2 hours with her, unless she's going to cut me off.
No, she probably won't. She's pretty good about listening. So she's pretty
right.
good. Ebony Empress, you say?
Yeah, Ebony Empress.
Yeah.
Shouldn't man do the same thing, though? You know, grow up and take a be accountable.
Oh, sure.
For?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean,
but I feel that men are growing up. Men, we have no choice. Like, we have no choice.
To join in with what Standy is saying and maybe illuminate it a little bit more, society places demands on men that it doesn't place on women. So even if men are raised in whatever type household, a deficient household, society is a type of safety net that ensures that men grow up much more so than women. And the military conscription or selective service registration is one of the sine qua nons or one of the pillars of that. And also, if you look at the way the reproductive laws are structured to give women all the power in the reproductive dynamic. So Stanley is exactly correct on that particular point.
The thing that just kind of bothers me with parts of this conversation is that I'm hearing blanketed statements. You're talking about women like you talk to every woman on the planet. You're talking about men like you talk to every you got to go ahead and just deal with some of the ones that you've talked to. This does not cover every person that you've dealt with. You haven't taken that clip and done that personal poll and going across the planet and talk to them, so you can't go ahead and say that. Everybody is different. You got a person that grew up here in the Midwest, probably go ahead and has different views about life from some person from the East Coast.
Let me ask you that question. When it comes to one thing, and I think Joe and Mr. Solution and me can agree on this, when we come to a show, any show, and some women defend that they're being, hello?
Yeah.
We're still here.
Some women are defending that, oh, sorry, I have an attitude, and it's my right to have an attitude. I'm sorry. None of their friends are basically coming to the girl, to the woman, and saying, you know what, you're having an attitude with a lot of men, and that's the reason it's not working with men.
So just,
I'm sorry, if I, as a man, let me just finish this. As a man, if I had an attitude or anything as a problem, Joe, with a solution, all my friends would basically correct me before that. I wouldn't have to say, they would correct me. I rarely hear women doing that. I hear women defending other women and saying, oh, you must have a good reason, this and that, that. I don't hear the responsibility of the attitude of the woman. I don't.
You just said it. You deal with that person. You must deal with that person. Not going to that person and say this is person's representative views of 20, 30 every woman on the planet. That you have to deal with that person, and you can't go any further than that. You must deal with that issue. With
I'd like to call her.
Hey,
new caller.
You in a low tech sterile.
I'm sorry, my phone isn't working. My name's Joe, and I think I'm going to speak also for Stanley and pretty much for Mrs. Solution in this regard. We don't have to talk to every woman on the planet. Statistics is that particular procedure. Statistics,
okay.
If they're properly compiled,
okay.
They reflect whatever it is that the statistics are supposed to reflect, regardless of whether, you know, it's about the number of cats on the planet. You don't have to count every cat, whether or not there are women with blue eyes, brown hair, etc. Statistics, surveys, polls, when they're properly compiled.
Okay.
And when the figures are, again, properly compiled, they reflect whatever it is that the topic's about. So when I talk, Stan talks, and Mr. Solution talks, yeah, we are talking from our own personal experiences, but we do research, too. We take a look at the stats, and we bring them to the forefront. So we don't have to talk to every woman.
Okay, I think you do, Z. Joe, I've heard you since you were on Cheryl.
I can barely hear you. Wait a minute.
Hello?
Hey, you got me?
Is this better?
Yeah, go ahead.
No. Shit.
Okay, here's my thing. When people put out numbers, I got to go ahead and question the person gathering those numbers, okay? Because people do those things for basically for their own good, okay? I can't go on those and I'm just, I have to go on with the people that I know, and it's trying to make, you know, statistics say this, statistics, but somebody has a may have an alternative plan, and may be doing it good for bad, but still cannot go on the statistics. Numbers, Ms. Lewis said it right, numbers lie. So when people go ahead and put out that information saying, hey, this is so-and-so, this amount of people, this poll says this, this poll says that, you got to question people that's doing the polling.
You also, yeah, absolutely right. I agree with that. You also, you definitely have to consider the people that are doing those studies and the people that are a result of those studies, and they may not even, you know, represent half of the, you know, the opposite type of people that are really out there that are going through those same particular things.
And I agree.
Joe, can I
You never hear about those.
Okay, can I ask you a question? As a female lady, and be honest and everything. When one of your girls is doing something stupid, and you know it's something stupid, how many of you girls are coming back to her and saying you're being stupid? Or are you defending her, whatever stupidness that she did? And be honest, because women, we don't hear that from women. We don't hear women being accountable for their own actions and saying to other girls, you did wrong. You did wrong with the man. It had nothing to do with the man. It had to do with you.
Right. Okay. So
I don't hear that from women.
Okay. So basically, the reason you guys don't hear us addressing, you know, the woman is because that's going to be women talking among each other. And how does it sound? Okay, with us coming back. Okay, yeah, we address it. We address it 100%. Girl, you was wrong for that. Girl, what was you thinking? We do this, but it's amongst each other. We don't go back to the guy or say, you know, I had to correct my girl, whatever, because she was cheating on her man or she did this, that, and the other to him. No, y'all don't hear about it because it's among us, just like with you guys. When y'all make mistakes, I don't hear guys, you know, coming to us, you know, saying, man,
trust
I had to take my homeboy last night. No, you don't hear that.
No, guys are a lot more serious when it comes to that. You could bring any guys, and they could bring, you could be 10 women, and they could be a bunch of guys. If we know you did wrong, we'll be the first one, because we're guys, to say you did wrong. We don't excuse the earth because we're girls. Oh yes, we do. I don't know about the guys, but I can tell you, as guys, all my guys friends, they have no problem if there's women, no women. We don't have that problem. Go ahead.
In a lot of experiences, guys do not let other females know that they addressed their homeboy for doing wrong. That's the reason you don't hear females. You know, we do it, but we do it among each other. We don't go out advertising to other guys. No, that, you know, we had to check our homegirl, our friend, that they did wrong, things like that. No, because that's just a bond among women, just like there's a bond among guys. You know, you may do it and may address it, but it's not 80% of guys out there that address other men in front of other females.
This is Mr. Solution. I just have a quick observation, if I may.
Go ahead.
The other part of this equation is that women do the selecting of men. So women make choices in men that often men can't counter because women generally don't listen. And what we're talking about is in open forum conversation that you check each other. Men will check each other in open forum conversation. I mean, men will, you know, counter what I say, and then I have to prove it, or I give it up. I go ahead and adapt to a better modality. And the same thing is true with men. Now, for example, let me give you a test of fairness, which a relationship is founded upon. Do you initiate conversations with men, assuming you want a relationship, or even if you don't, how do you come down on this particular issue? Adult women should initiate conversation with men if they want a relationship with men. And, of course, they should pay, not be willing to pay, but pay early on when there is an expense. How do you come down on those two issues, women initiating introductory conversation and women paying, say, for first dates? How do you feel about that?
Okay, the first to answer your first question is, I don't go into conversations with guys, you know, expecting to have a relationship out of it. You know, it's basically about getting, you know, It starts out as general conversation, but I don't have any expectations, you know, when I meet someone, even though it could or may turn into something else. You know, so I don't go into a situation like that. Neither do I go in, you know, drilling them and everything. I go respond off questions, you know, the way that you would, I would approach a guy. Nowadays, I would. I have, and I do, and I quite enjoy it because, you know, the flattering, the flatteriness of it, because if it's something that, you know, someone that I see and I like, I will approach them. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I am from the old school, but, you know.
Wait. We'll deal with that old school, but what caused the change? What changed in your thinking?
Life. Skill, life, things that I've gone through, situations that I may have saw my husband walk by and he's afraid to say something to me because of the look on my face. I may come off as, you know, like, ugh, I don't want to be bothered. But that may not be the case. So knowing and learning about myself over the years that I could come off like that and that's really not my true self, I had to kind of change my ways and work on myself. I spent years, you know, just working on myself, learning about myself, asking people about myself. Look, what type of person? You really want to know what type of person you are? Look at the people around you, you know, and ask questions and stuff. So that comes into play with meeting people, and I don't have a problem starting conversation. But if it's someone that I really, I meet and I think, you know, I like, I definitely don't have a problem, you know, approaching someone. And what changed is because I could have, you know, been in that happy, healthy relationship years ago, but because of, you know, the way that my look or my approach may be, or they may be, you know, scared to say something to me because of the way I look or can be misinterpreted, I'm like, well, hey, it's time to start flipping the script, and this is something that I decided to do on my own. So if I see you, you know, I would go that little extra half a step to let you know that, hey, I'm interested. You
okay,
know,
well, let me just say this and mark this as Exhibit A. Mm-hmm. That's very good, the turnaround. And, of course, I would say that just based on that alone, in terms of American women, that puts you in about the 5%, between the 1 and 5% of potential relationship material women. So you
yeah.
are, right, with that one pronouncement, that separates you from about 95 to 99% of American women. Do you understand?
I agree with you, yes.
Okay, all right, go ahead with your next point. That's a good one.
Okay, yeah, you know, as I stated,
the paying,
I don't
the paying. I think we it, dealt with the paying on first dates.
Okay, the paying
yeah,
on the first.
Yeah, the money part.
A woman paying for the first date?
Oh, you first, and then we can deal with other, extrapolate to other women.
Basically,
okay.
Would you pay for the first date? On the first date, would you pay?
Depending on the circumstance, but basically it would depend on, you know, how we were when we met, you know, how was our communication, you know, what the situation is, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, may be
out of work or in between jobs. It depends
okay,
on
let me
how
put this way. Have you paid on the first date before?
Yes, but it was unexpectedly.
Oh, okay.
What does that mean?
Well, unexpectedly is not knowing that, you know, you was going to have to pay when you ended up having to pay.
So the guy forced you to pay, in other words.
No, not forced. No, uh-uh.
Well, the circumstances force you to pay.
Huh? I'm sorry?
The circumstances. In other words, he couldn't or wouldn't pay, so you had to pay.
Yes, that was unexpected, but expected.
I understand.
There, yeah, okay. That was, you know, Eric's question, but just voluntarily and knowingly, you know, having to go out. Yes, I was telling him, Eric today that I used to give a guy gas money just to come and visit me. So,
you cut off. I didn't hear that. What?
I used to give a guy gas money to come and visit me. So that may or may not answer your question, but I have.
Well, that may have been stupid. Was that stupid?
I wouldn't say it was stupid because of what the situation was, and I already knew it when I went into it. So I wouldn't say it was stupid because, you know, I don't make stupid.
What was the situation?
I'm sorry?
What was the situation, if you can share it?
He didn't have gas money to come and see me with, but I wanted to see him, and he wanted to see me. So somebody had some money, so somebody got to get to somebody. So I actually drove to give him the gas money to drive back down to see me. And
did you consider this guy relationship material?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, wasn't it stupid for you to give a guy that's not relationship material your hard-earned money?
Well, no, it was because I wanted to see him just as much as he wanted to see me, so I wouldn't. You know,
I understand that, but wasn't that stupid?
Oh, no.
Wasn't that what you'd call just an emotional infatuation or what you call lust.
Yeah, but there's nothing stupid about lust because lust is what it is. Hello.
Well, it was stupid about with that guy. It was stupid. I agree. Lust is the energy that drives us, or desire. Lust and desire are synonymous terms. But yeah, so I just think it's good for you to see, and I'm glad you hung in here because most women would be bitching and farting and pitching a fit just having this kind of conversation. So I'm sure all the guys. We guys really appreciate a man's woman, you see, a woman who can listen to men, because that's one of the fundamental things that guys want. They want a woman who will listen to them, a woman who is supportive, a woman who is available, and a woman who's commitment-minded, because a lot of women are commitment-phobic. They get with dysfunctional guys because they're dysfunctional.
Absolutely, and they're a perfect match for each other for disaster, though, but they don't know that until the disaster happens. You know, so I can, you know, kind of agree because I've, you know, I've been there. I've been in, you know, so many different scenarios where it's too, I can, you know, kind of speak on it, and I don't go by statistics, you know. I've been on this earth, God, 45 years, and, you know, I've experienced, you know, just different things when it comes to men and women, but I do have to say, you know, that there is, you know, it just is a special bond between, you know, women.
You're
and
cutting
men.
Out. You're cutting out.
When it comes to conversations and stuff about certain
what,
things.
What about that? I didn't hear that. When it comes to conversation, what?
There's a certain bond that, you know, men share amongst each other. Like, you know, Stan was saying how, you know, they would chastise their friend in the open and stuff. But that's, you don't hardly hear about, you know, guys doing that in the presence of other women because, hey, just from our time, it just that's just not how it's done.
You have to get with the right guys. We do that. And see, the other reason we may not do it, now, I won't do it all the time. Like, if you came,
right.
Can you hear me? I don't know.
Yeah, we hear you.
Yeah, if you
right.
came across as a jerk and you were dealing with guys who were jerks, I think some of us would reserve opinion. We would just sit back and kind of be amused.
In the open. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. In the open, they deserve, you know, they're just commonly just, you know, being jerks, you know. Yeah,
but did you hear why we won't necessarily all the time check a guy is because we understand that you could do that, and if you won't do it, we don't feel it's our place. If you're giving a guy pussy, okay, that's one of the biggest incentives that what he's doing is okay. So if you're effing him, we see that as your approval of what he's doing, regardless as to what it is. Is that correct, guys? Are you with me on that?
Not necessarily.
Yep.
Not necessarily.
Yeah, because I don't think they have to be sleeping together in order for him to get the okay to treat her like crap.
Wait, I didn't hear I think someone else is speaking in the background.
Yes, me.
Yeah, say it again, Joe.
Is that women want to change men, too, so it's not necessarily an approval of the man in total. It's an approval of she just wants to get laid. And she may like him for what she thinks he is at the time, but then eventually she's going to want to change something about him just for the drama, if nothing else but for the drama.
Okay.
Well, not all women want drama, though. I mean,
Rick is absolutely right about that.
Okay, never use the word all. We don't need to use the word all with respect to anything. We can talk about most, the majority, and that sort of thing. We don't need because when you use the word all, what you're doing is opening an area for tremendous disagreement and unsolvability. So forget
somebody
the word
did address
all
earlier. Yeah, someone addressed the word
well,
all.
Well, she
that's
was referring
said,
to me, and I may have said the word all, and you're right, Rich. I'm not going to say 100% all. I'm going to say overwhelming majority, 95 to 99%.
Yeah, and there are always exceptions. There are exceptions to the rule which make the rule. So we understand it's not all inclusive. All.
Let me ask you something, caller. The female caller. What is it that you think that you bring to the table in a relationship, not in dating, but you like a guy, he likes you, and you're about to enter the relationship zone. What is it that you think that you bring to the table, you believe guys need, guys want, or guys think is very important?
Okay, just like the English major said, he's been on here for about 10 minutes with me, and he's put me in a 5% category right. out of 100 women to be different. Well, basically, he was able to pick up on something that a lot of, you know, people haven't been able to pick up on. I consider myself, and I'm flattered to hear that, because the number one thing that I know I'm able to bring to the table with the topic of the day from Thursday is communication. I'm a better communicator than the way that I used to be. That's, you know, the number one thing. I'm trustworthy. I have a lot of, you know, about 10 colleges I can name, and it doesn't cost a dime, you know, in order to get that from me. That would make a man want to treasure me forever, because they're not getting it nowadays, and I understand that. I come from a family of 12, 6 boys, 6 girls, equally. But we're all, you know, different in our ways. But it took some life experiences in order for me, you know, to decide to make these changes,
so
you know, for myself.
Being, okay. Other than being a good communicator, what else do you think that from the support for a guy that you think that you personally bring to?
Oh, well, my sex game is off the chain. But, of course, he'd have to be in a relationship with me, too, you know, in order to get that. But as I stated, I'm trustworthy.
You what?
My trustworthy, my communication skills.
Right.
I'm a listener. You know, I'm a damn good listener, because if I want to know what's going on, I'm gonna listen. But if you're not paying attention to him, you know, he's gonna talk to somebody. You know, whether it be you as his woman or somebody else's woman, he's gonna talk to some woman, because that's what he desires. You know, to talk to the woman.
Right.
So there's some other things. You know, so there's kind of a list. But what singles, you know, me out, as I stated, because I took time to figure out what it is that a man wants, what a man needs. And I believe, you know, the English major here already, you know, stated exactly, you know, what guys are looking for, you know, but I'm not out there to fulfill, you know, every man's, you know, need. I only have, you know, this and this for that one person, because it'll take a lifetime, you know, to change.
Right.
But I got to find that
guy.
Mate just for me.
Okay.
It'll take a lifetime to change the man. I'm not out there to change, you know, nobody else's son, because...
Okay.
He is what he is.
All right, hold on. I got one more call. I need to come on the line. Hold on.
Okay, good. Woman, please.
Good afternoon. You on Let's Talk. What's on your mind? Hello?
Well,
770?
My question is this, to Mr. Solution. What makes you such a viable pick for a woman?
Hello.
Is that for Mr. Solution, or is that for the guy that asked the question? Because I'm Joe. If you're asking me,
I'm sorry,
are you asking
Joe. I'm so very sorry, Joe.
You're asking me?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I thought. Me? I'm loyal. I'm faithful. I treat a woman well. I don't give drama. I love harmony. She can trust me. She can talk to me about anything. I'm a good fuck. I try to make her realize that I think if she's in a relationship with me, that she's important to me.
Somebody says so are dogs. They're loyal and faithful.
And dogs are faithful too and loyal.
He said loyal? I'm loyal, yeah. I treat women well. I treat them as adults if they can act handily.
Is that a checklist, Joe?
Well, it's a checklist.
Sounds
I
like
just
checklist.
Laid down to you since you asked me. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said since either you or I guess may have been somebody else who asked me, yeah, it's a checklist. It's a checklist of my qualities so that when a woman gets into a relationship with me, she knows I'm not going to cheat on her. She knows that if she's feeling bad, as long as it's not about fucking hangnail bullshit, I'm there to listen to her. I'm there to make her feel important, like Stan would make his woman feel important, and Mr. Solution.
What if it is, Joe? I mean, what if it is, you know, about a hangnail that could get infected?
Oh, that's something that's... No, that's real, but I'm not... You know what I'm talking about. You're trying to make drama now.
No, I'm trying to get you to clarify what you're saying.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you cannot come to me and complain every day about the same shit, okay, which is a lot of women do. I won't tolerate it.
I will until you get that nail fixed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if it's about a hangnail that actually is a medical problem, I would say, sweetie, I think you should get it fixed. Now, if you're not going to get it fixed and then start complaining about it.
You need to pick up on the idea. We need to get our nails fixed.
We need and get the goddamn nail fixed. What are you talking to me for?
Right. Like I say, it's clarification.
Uh-huh. There it is.
Your conversation language, your communication language.
Yeah, all right. So, okay. But then again,
all right.
Also,
turn up now.
Some, am I? Okay.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh. So,
yeah, you sit there. Go ahead.
All right. So, again, loyal, faithful. I treat her well. I make her feel important. If she knows how to feel important, because I'm going to make her know that she is important to me, that because she has the qualities I'm looking for, such as I can respect her, I can trust her, and she can give empathy to me when I'm feeling bad, then I'm treating her like a queen without making her feel like she's the goddess of the universe, because she's not. She still has to earn respect from other people, not because she shows up. I'm not thinking because she's mine that therefore she's a super lady. She is a woman. And as a woman who does treat other people well, who has honesty and integrity, she deserves to be treated that way. It's a very, very simple thing, which a lot
I'm sorry,
of people don't.
Hey, earn respect, Joe.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Did you say she has to earn your respect?
Well, goddamn right. You think she's going to show up with a glop on her face and a pair of 36 C's, and all of a sudden she's somebody special?
36 C's.
But that's the same thing a woman wants from a man.
Well, then that, and yeah, and a man has to earn her
respect. Exactly. But as a man, we don't see that. As a man, we see a lot of girls, a lot of women wasting their time with guys who doesn't respect them, who doesn't treat them well. And then we look at them and say, you don't want respect. Because
that's what they need to feed their everyday energy. Some women are glad to be in those relationships. But that would not make it a better mate for you, because that's not what you need.
Yeah, but Stan is right talking about the overall.
No. Overall, there's a lot of women who know that this guy didn't respect them, didn't treat them well, didn't do what he needed to do, played the game, cheated, did all the stuff that we're not talking about, and wasted a year or two or 3 years with that guy, and would look at them and say, why did you do that? Why did you do that? If he knew the guy didn't respect you, didn't treat you well, and tried to change him every time. Even gave him
200 checks. And the woman who was asking me about my qualities theoretically make me one of the most desirable, worthwhile men in the universe. But you know what? Because I am reliable and I won't change, and I'm not going to be the putz, the bad boy the girl wants. A lot
exactly.
of girls will not want me after a while
that,
until they piss me off, and then they want me more. And by then, it's too fucking late, because I am a nice guy. I am reliable. I want to treat my woman with respect, and I want her to appreciate it. But if she doesn't appreciate it, start showing her ass, she's got to go. And then all of a sudden, I'm fucking Brad Pitt again. Fuck you!
this is the only thing I have to add to this. Just like you want to say women try to change men try to change women, making them women get breasts.
We're not trying to change men. I'm sorry. Men don't try to change women. We accept you for who you are.
That's not always true.
That is true most of the time. Men try to change women.
No, come on.
All we want is a whore in the bedroom and a lady outside of it.
Exactly.
If she doesn't come to the table with that knowledge, you are going to try to mold her into that.
If she isn't that by the time she's in a relationship, she shouldn't be there.
Exactly.
If your woman is not a whore in the bedroom, are you not going to try to bring her into that world with you?
You can make her into one.
I kind of have the feeling you two want a man to say that she wants somebody swinging from the chandelier. No, I will please her. If, for example, I'm doing something that she doesn't like, I'm open to suggestions. She says, hey, Joe, you got to move a little to the left, or you got to do it a little bit more thrust. I'm open to that. So if you're saying that's trying to change into a whore in the bedroom, I disagree. I call that trying to please my woman.
Okay, I have to agree with you.
I can't argue with that.
And she does not have that
knowledge or...
Then she better listen to me when I tell her don't fucking bite.
Hold on, listen to the question. She doesn't have that sexual history that you may have. Are you not going to try to teach her? It's a simple yes or no.
Yes.
Okay, but see, you're asking the wrong question, ma'am, and that's where you need to listen at this juncture. You're talking about accommodation as opposed to changing a person's
point.
You're talking about accommodation, which is normal in a relationship, as opposed to changing a person's character, which is not. So what you're doing is you're misidentifying the elements here. For a person to ask of another person, this is where you get compatibility. And this is where I even encourage people to get professional counseling, although I know Joe sometimes has heartburn with that. But the point is, a woman tries to change a man's essential character and nature, whereas a man may attempt to relate to a woman to get her to accommodate his needs, which is perfectly normal in a healthy relationship. Do you understand?
Miss, if you would just listen to him.
The way she speaks and carries herself, is that not part of her character?
Hey, yeah, but see, this is the point. If we had it, okay, you make a good point, but listen to this. Wait a minute. This is where the breakdown is. We don't get an opportunity to meet enough of you in order to find the one that's most compatible, because you control the ebb and flow of how men meet you. So if there were more, say, for example, if I met you and you were hard to get along with, and then woman two, which we put the woman, you know, between the 1 and 5% of the female population, I would forget you existed. When I meet her, don't exist anymore. You follow me?
We still missing. I still haven't been able to make my point, because I'm being talked over very rudely and disrespectfully.
So, Nick, what is your point? Go ahead.
Now, like I was saying before I was cut off.
Go ahead.
If you have a woman that does not have these experiences and things that you want, are you not going to try to teach her? Is that not a part of a child? Is that not a part of a character? From how she dresses, she walks. Is carrying her stuff. Is that not a part of it?
Part of her character?
Is that not what makes her her?
No, that's part of your own responsibility. If you're not good sexually in bed, that is your own responsibility, and that is your own thing. If you do not know your body, and if you do not know what brings you to the point of being sexually satisfied, that's your own responsibility. That's not my responsibility.
Sam,
would you
want a virgin or a woman that done been around, honey?
No, I want a woman who basically knows how to do in bed. I don't want a virgin. Nothing to do with virgin.
Okay, the reason I
ask
that, the reason I ask that is because she's saying that a woman, not all women are already experienced and know things, you know, and know everything that a man may want in the bedroom. And she basically, she's saying is that, would you be willing to teach her? That is a very simple question. Would you be willing to teach her things that she don't know? Because when a guy's not experienced and he gets in a bed with a woman, you know,
he comes off real quick. Men probably more willing to teach women. The women are more willing to teach.
Let's say I'm a guy and I'm not experienced with a woman. The question I will ask to the girl is, say, do you like this? Do you like that? And I will try it. I'm not here to teach you things. That's not teaching.
You got to be able to accommodate each other in bed. And she's just asking, would that be a change of character? I mean, for me, you know, it really wouldn't be, because what I do in the bedroom is not going to reflect on how I walk out the front door when I get ready to go to work and come home, because, you know, you'll never know how I am at home versus the way that I dress and carry myself on a daily basis, because that's not the world's business when I walk out of my house. But in the bed, I mean, definitely, you know, we should be able to accommodate each other. But men tend to get upset, you know, if they realize that they are not satisfying their woman and a lady try to tell them, you know, to do it and stuff, you guys tend to get offended.
I agree.
Oh, what, I'm not big enough for you? Oh, I'm not doing it right? Well, I'm not doing it at all.
I agree with that.
And I agree with that. Some guys are like that, and I agree. Some guys are very selfish when it comes to bed. I'm not.
But what we encourage women is to not choose those guys. See, the thing is with women, you have more choices of wait a minute. The thing with women is you all have more choices of good men who want to accommodate you than men have of the selection of women. There are very few women, like we just said, the woman who listen is in the 1 to 5%. Because American culture teaches women to be wenches and are oppositional and combative. The American culture teaches you guys to be that.
And American culture teaches men to be pimps. I mean, players.
We just said, see, look here, this is what you're not getting, and you may not want to get it. That's the problem. This is the problem. See, men, like, for example, men have to register for the Selective Service. What does that mean? That means that men have to pledge their lives to the country before they can get any benefits from the country. And see, often women, because they don't deal with that, they're ignorant of that particular reality. They don't take that into the equation as to how men are. There are many more good men. Let me give you another example. There are many more good men than there are women. You say, prove that. I say, okay, glad you asked. What one is willing to do for another person is indicative of their care and concern. More men are willing to do things for strange women, i.e., initiate conversation, pay for first dates, than are women, even though women are equal. So men are actually better than women from a behavioral standpoint in terms of what they will do for women. Does that make sense, guys? Do you guys follow that?
Definitely.
Get a consensus from the guys. Guys, do you all understand what I just said?
Oh, yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, you don't understand that there's always one.
Now, the next thing is for a compatible woman to understand that, because a woman who won't listen and understand a man's plight is not a good fit for a man. Ipso facto.
You know what? This is what I'm trying to say.
Go ahead.
There's always another side to it. Just like you feel like it's a lot of crap on women, I feel like it's a lot of stuff that falls on men as well.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this. I'm going to agree with you, but my particular subjective opinion is that there are about 25% of men who aren't relationship material. They're demented. They're fucked up. You know, women shouldn't have anything to do with them. But that remains the 75% of men who would be willing to engage and participate and really be grateful for a loving relationship with a woman who appreciates him. Does anybody disagree with that?
I don't disagree with that, and Joe, I said that, and Mr. Solution heard me said it. I have more difficulty meeting a single woman right now in 2012 than ever before, and a single man that wants to meet just a correct woman, and I do all the approaching, and it's hard to even find one woman worth dating. That's how bad it is. And all the women I meet is, they're hurt by their past, they're burned out, they're hurt because of this guy and that guy, they don't want to know anything about men, they hate men, all the drama and everything.
You have the right to not date them.
Thanks,
you have the right to walk away and say, I don't want to deal with it. Just like we got the right to say, I don't want to deal with you.
That's
no problem.
The point.
Wait a minute. Let Joe give his information. He just said that 25% of men are dysfunctional and no good for relationships. 75% are. Joe, continue, if you don't mind, with the group of women that are no good and also the group of women who are available for relationships.
I will as soon as Stan finishes, because Stan was just about to finish it for me, and then I'll finish it for Stan.
No, and to tell you the truth, there's so much women that they say they want to have a relationship, but they don't. They don't. They want to basically have somebody who's going to bring drama. They want somebody. They don't want a good person. I'm sorry, ladies, you don't. Because I could bring you 20 guys on a Friday night that have no dates, and they're a good person. They're hardworking men. They know what they want in life. They're not in the drama. They're peaceful men. They're in great shape and everything. And you look at that Friday, Saturday, have no dates. But the guy who's a Draculite, like Mr. Solution said, or the guy who's a drama person, or the guy who's a bad one, or the guy who fucking doesn't care about you, he gets 20 days and he has no problem. He gets double day, he has no problem. He goes to a girl and kiss her in front of another girl and has no problem, and the girl will still sleep with him.
Hello.
I saw that.
And this is what dovetails into what Richard wanted me to expand upon. I think Rich and Stan will probably attest to it. The 25% of men, I think the women here will say, yeah, at least 25% of men are no good. That leaves 75%. Now, if you want to make it 50-50, just for the sake of argument, fine. 50%, that means out of every 10 guys you meet, there are 5 guys who are shitheads, 5 guys who would be willing, okay, to have a relationship with you, because we are indoctrinated with our DNA. At least we're indoctrinated, at least in American society, to be protectors and providers, depending upon what kind of woman she is. Now, what are our standards? Our standards are, if you're relatively pretty, relatively interesting in terms of conversation, relatively intelligent, you don't have to be Einstein or a beauty queen, and if you're good in bed, we want you. We
exactly.
Want you. What? Okay? Which are, and those criteria are different than what women want. But those 50%
yeah.
of men, for some reason, they're out there, but you chicks just can't find them. Now, is that our fault when we're willing to protect and provide and our expectations are reasonable? No, it's your fault. Plain and simple.
That's
now,
not
see,
true. I don't believe that to be true.
Oh, of course not, because the blame and the accountability and the burden, the onus is on you, and you don't want to
no,
have to accept
it. No, that's not the reason why. The reason why I don't agree is because it's accountability on both sides.
Yeah,
but you don't understand.
Yes, there's accountability on both sides.
Hold on. I don't need everybody to talk right now. Thank you.
I don't understand what that accountability is.
You know, if you be quiet, I can tell you. If you stop cutting me off every sentence, I mean, I can explain.
Go ahead.
That
yeah,
just like it was a woman's fault for coming into it with an attitude, it's just as much as a man's fault for handing her an attitude. Men treat women bad, women treat men bad. It's the same thing both ways. It's not one side doing it, I don't feel like it's just a woman's fault because of this or just a woman's fault because of that. It's always, from what I'm hearing from you men, it's always a woman's fault. Maybe you guys should pick
always,
up some of your
okay.
blame bags.
I'm
going to
cut you off because you've already shown that you did not listen.
You didn't hear what we said. We didn't hear what we said. We even went to a show, me and Joe. I remember, Joe, when we went to that show, we asked a woman the question, in a week, how much guy do you meet? She said 100 guys. And we said, fine, we'll take the percentage. We'll say 90% of them are not worth it. You're telling me out of 100 guys, you can't find one that's good? And trust me, as a guy, present me 100 women. I will find at least 10 who will be good.
Well,
I don't have any trouble.
Good.
I don't
know
what you're talking
good.
The way you're talking good. On this phone. There's no reason why you can't find one.
Well, the same is true of you, and you have the most power as a woman. The same is true of you, and what I notice about you as a woman, just like the other woman, you don't listen. You just keep running your mouth ad infinitum, and the thing of it is, given the power of women in America, if you are a woman in America and want a man, and you don't have one, a good man, you don't have one. Something is wrong with your attitude. Hold on a minute. If a woman who calls herself good in America and wants a man and does not have one, something is wrong with her attitude, character, personality, and or weight. And all she has to do is look in the mirror. Now, you have men on the line, quality men, titan men.
You telling the truth.
Do you listen? Hell no. You keep
you
running your mouth
you
like a damn chainsaw.
No,
what
is.
We're telling you to do is to sit back and just listen. This is a talk show, but you don't have to talk.
There's a problem right there.
We can listen.
I'm listening, but I don't need you to tell me what to do.
Well, nobody can tell your ass what to do.
Okay, see.
So here we go
okay,
with the loud talking. He
all
sounds
right,
like a very
right,
aggressive man.
See, this is. Yes, Rob, your line is open. But see, this is what I'm talking about. See, now we're getting into it, but once again, men are saying one thing, the women are saying nothing. I mean,
no, this
women
woman,
are saying
Eric,
something.
And this is the best place to get into it, by the way.
And I understand that, but this is my point. Everybody's saying something, like everybody's hearing something different.
That's true.
Yeah, but the men are saying the same thing. This woman is hearing something different.
My point exactly. The women are hearing something
different. Wait a minute, Eric. The woman in the 1 to 5% is not arguing. This woman is the one that's being argumentative.
I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying how I feel. I'm giving you my opinion. If you feel like I'm arguing, well, you're arguing with yourself.
The way you feel is wrong. The way you feel is incorrect.
The way I feel is how I feel. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. An opinion is an opinion.
Wait a minute, sweetie. It does have something to do with right or wrong. That's the reason you're wrong. It's because you don't think you are. That's why you are. And no one has the guts to tell you that. But I love you enough to tell you you're wrong.
Well, I'm good enough to tell you that you're wrong, man. Exactly what you're saying is very wrong.
You don't have the credentials to say it.
You have
no credentials.
You are a single man. You have not been married. You are not in a relationship. So how can you tell me anything?
But because of women like you, not good girlfriend and not good wife.
I'm going to find you somebody. You are by yourself. You
are but because of women like you, motor mouth women who don't listen. The point.
Okay. All right.
Tell you something. See, this is the point. Is that if someone got in a relationship with this woman, Lord, have mercy on them, because see, she would drive them crazy and drive them away also. And I would not condemn a man for cheating on a woman like this. Although I don't condone cheating.
No. I mean, let's not go that far, Rich.
Well, why not go that far? Could you live with a woman like this?
But I don't condone cheating. As a remedy to
I'm just sort of using this as somewhat a figure of speech.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm when you have the kind of men that are telling a woman the truth, and she's just rebuffing it by a meaningless statement, that's the problem. Now she doesn't have to change. I would prefer that she just listen. She could learn more.
I have listened.
Let me ask a question to that woman, because she thinks that we're so wrong in everything. Let me give her a scenario, and let her be honest. Do you think, really, if you bring a guy, a single man, 100 women,
where you go, Stan?
Oh, Stan, where'd you go?
Oh, well, he dropped.
All right, let me ask a question for him then until he gets back on the line.
Okay.
For the woman who was talking with Rich.
For the combative woman, I'm listening. The combative woman.
Okay. If you were to meet 100 guys, okay, because you're talking about, you know, men can't treat women, you know, being compatible with women and women being compatible with men, and we agree with you. There are men like that. But if you were to meet 100 guys, now how long do you think it would take for you to meet 100 normal guys, 100 guys?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, do they approach you in the street? Do you go to clubs? Do you go to school and meet them in the classroom? Do you have any opportunities at work? I mean, are there any venues in which you can meet guys?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think you can meet 100 guys in a year?
Sure.
Okay, out of those 100 guys, do you think, what percentage of them do you think would be good guys? Guys that would not cheat, would be faithful, would listen to you, would not beat you, etc.
Well, here goes Stan. But
Stan,
you know
back
what?
On? He can finish.
Yeah, he's on now.
Yeah, okay.
But you know what? I'm hearing that. But here's my thing. Here's what I'm. That scenario that you gave there, Joe, that can go.
Yeah.
That can go like both ways around the table.
Absolutely.
Whoa.
Yes, it can, Stan. I don't know how you can say it can't.
No. I can meet 100 girls, but then if somebody wants to ask me, you put me on the spot. If I were to meet 100 girls, how many of them would be good girls? I mean,
right.
Girls that would... How many girls... Not that they would be interested in me, okay? But let's say out of 100 girls, how many of them, if I were to go out with them, how many of them would turn out to be girls who would not want drama, who would appreciate a man who's loyal, who would appreciate a man who's reliable, not think of him as boring? How many of them? I would say one. Because you know why? Women don't like men like me unless they have become enlightened. You know why? Not because I'm ugly. Not because I'm stupid. Because I am not the bad guy. I am a man who loves harmony. I love nature. I love grass, horses, a ranch. I love to have Disneyland type of fun.
Hello,
women
Jeff.
Women were like that at the beginning for a few months, but then after that, when the harmony sets in and it's reliable, no. Until when?
Joe.
Until they get on my fucking nerves, and then all of a sudden, hey.
Joe.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Sure.
Ask your question?
Sure.
You would actually have to take your checklist, you know, wherever you're meeting these females at, let's say at the club. How many women do you actually think out of that 100 is going to want to sit there, you know, and go through this serious conversation for you? How do you are you going to find all of that out in the first conversation when you're meeting 100 women? You actually have to drill them in order to find out if they are these type of women. But most people, if you meet them, like, depending on where you meet them at, if you meet them in the club, they're not there to talk, you know, seriously about anything, a relationship or your checklist or anything like that.
All right.
So how are you going to find out?
Is that
you
what
know,
you
if
meant
they
before
are?
By a checklist? Oh, I thought you – were you asking me if I took out a checklist and when I met somebody, I ran down through it?
Well, you
that
almost
you
have to in order to realize if one, two,
no,
three,
no,
or
no.
five –
how about the fact
enough,
I'm over
40?
How about
enough,
the fact I have hundreds of phone numbers in my – and I put it – I say database because I transferred over my address book to my computer. Hundreds of phone numbers. I've met thousands of women. I am not ugly. I am not stupid. I'm good in bed. I've had multiple chicks, and I'm talking not only from my experience, but from other guys' experience, because I've been talking about this for 20 years, plus the fact I've done research. And when you have talked, not just talked, but when you've done the research and you've gotten other guys' perspective and other women's perspective, I can say what I say with authority. And I do not whip out a checklist and start talking to a girl as though she's potentially my wife the first 5 minutes I talk to her. This is from experience. Now, unless my observations are way out of whack, I'm going to have to say, with the verification of other guys who other women might say could be biased, my observations are spot on.
I mean, how would you know? I mean, you know, if you just randomly meet people.
It's not about just randomly meeting a person. I'm talking about if you've dated over 100 people, if you've gone to bed with not 100, but let's say a few.
Oh,
if
wow.
you've talked to other
okay.
guys, I'm talking to you. I'm listening to how you've said to me, what about the checklist? As though you assume that somehow when I meet a girl, all I got in my mind is that I'm going to whip out some fucking piece of paper and say, well, are you loyal? Are you faithful? Because I am. And dabba dabba dabba. No. So I like to know how you went from my talking about and Rich is talking about and Stanley talking about what we want in a woman to my whipping out a checklist. How does that happen?
Well, basically, how would you find out, you know, about it? I'm not sure exactly how he meant by meeting these 100 women, but how would you find out by meeting them if you didn't date them? So by you saying that you actually dated,
wait a minute,
if you
date
them, yeah, then you would find out, you know, about
them. I'm not listening. I said I dated them. I said I have hundreds of numbers in my database. I have met thousands of women. I have dated plenty of women. I have fucked more than a few. As you can tell, I do know what I'm
talking about.
You may not agree with me, but when I talk, I do express myself in coherent, cogent ways. Women are attracted to me because I was born lucky. I'm a good dancer. I can talk well about almost anything, even if I don't know the subject, because I've actually trained myself in the art of conversation. So,
okay.
Again, somebody wants to jump in? Okay, he wants
yeah,
to jump in.
All right. We going to leave it at that, Joe. I got 1 minute and 30 seconds.
All right.
You know what? Once again, we've had another great, great show. And you know what? We're going to keep this going tomorrow, too. Hey, until we get something settled, we're going to be talking. So until then, y'all, hey, we're going to keep going because I think, you know, we do need to talk about this. And as you can see, you know, there's some things we need to work with this communication thing. You know, we listening, but we're not hearing. And that's on both sides of the table. Y'all know what though? You want to see something interesting? Watch me that came out in 91. I think it's 91. No, 90 with called The Brothers with Marsh Chestnut. Marsh Chestnut. Who's the little comedian we was talking about the other day? Yeah, D.L. Hughley and it's called The Brothers. And I'm telling you, you will really, really find out something that we talk about every day. But like I said, Charlotte, I see you out there. But anyway, that's going to be it for today, y'all. Join me tomorrow. We're going to continue this conversation because we're going to come up with some solutions somewhere. All right. Until then, y'all have a good one. Hey, hug that special someone. Tell them you love them. And I'll see y'all tomorrow. I'm out of here.